In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be introit. To my soul, I am your salvation. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. He delivers them out of all their troubles. For this is God, our God, forever and ever.
Hear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter our sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will tell
for this is God.
Let us pray. O Almighty and most merciful God, of your bountiful goodness, keep us, we implore you, from all things that may hurt us, that we, being ready, both in body and soul, may cheerfully accomplish those things that you would have done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Trinity is from the 28th chapter of Genesis. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. So Jesus got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then, behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, who had given such power to men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Amen. Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy church and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
text is from Matthew chapter 9, verse 6, that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. This is our text. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Luther remarks, no preaching is greater than that about grace and the forgiveness of sins. Praise and thanks and adoration to our Heavenly Father, who has so graciously created us with eyes and ears and all our senses. He has given us a conscience and our human reason. Nevertheless, this first physical birth is not enough. Due to man's fall into sin, we are born sinful and unclean. Our consciences accuse us of our sin, and our human reason can rise no higher. Before men, we can produce some level of earthly righteousness. But before God, even our righteous acts are like sinful rags. Without the preaching of grace and forgiveness, we will despair and should expect death. Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again or he could not see the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh. The Spirit gives birth to spirit. There needs to be a second birth of the Spirit, that produced by the Spirit of God. Now, the treasure which the Holy Spirit brings to us is none other than the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, his perfect life that he has. He is without the stain of original sin, and so he could lead a life of perfect righteousness. He purchased and won our salvation through his suffering and death, and the Holy Spirit uses the preaching of grace and forgiveness to create faith in our heart. The new second birth comes when we believe the good news of Christ's forgiveness having been preached to us. Well, the friends of the paralytic have already received their new birth in Jesus. They have already heard the good news of grace and forgiveness. These men now live their lives in service to their neighbor. The paralytic cannot walk, but they can walk, and they will bring him to Jesus. They bring their friend, their paralytic friend, to Jesus because they believe that Jesus is the promised Savior who can heal and forgive sins. Well, you too have already come to faith in Jesus Christ. You've come to the new birth through water and the Word. Through faith in Christ, you've been born again. And so, like the paralytic's friends, you now are to live your life in service to your neighbor, to others who need to hear the good news of grace and forgiveness. However, we find that there are many people who are like the scribes in today's Holy Gospel. They trust in the righteousness of their first birth. Without the instruction of the Word of God, the best that human reason can figure out is that salvation must be by outward works. And they consider that, well, no preaching is better than the law. You see, they want preaching which tells them what to do. They want preaching which tells them how to do it. They want preaching which gives tips and tricks on how to get those good works done. According to their human reason, they consider that their works, they're sufficient to please God and merit eternal life, and so they hold them up. They hold up their certificates and their diplomas from school. They brag about their accomplishments at work. They consider their faithfulness towards their spouse, the sacrifice they put forth in raising children, or their assistance towards their parents. Oh, in particular, they maintain that their attendance at religious services. That is truly meritorious. They may even belong to a service organization or regularly give to a charity. This self-righteous opinion, I tell you, is based on works and works alone. However, the performance of God's law is not fulfilled by works alone. As the Pharisees found out last week, the great commandment is love. God truly desires that we would have faith and then love God. Faith and love our neighbor. You can't get around man's problem with his sinful nature. He has no faith to produce the works of love. Due to mankind's frailty, every self-righteous opinion, therefore, must be tempered by our own interpretation of the law. Therefore, that interpretation is this: they all think that God grades on a curve. Now, that goes directly against God's word, but they hold that, yeah, you don't have to be perfect. God's pleased with whatever works that you do, whatever you have accomplished. The bending of the rules, it seems necessary if you're going to claim a kind of relative righteousness, which usually is in comparison to others. Well, today we've got the hike with Pastor Mike. My family and I, we often go on hikes while we're on vacation. And sometimes we're out, maybe in Colorado, in the woods. You may encounter a bear. So, we often repeat the advice that comes, you don't have to run faster than the bear. You just have to run faster than the slowest person in your party. Similarly, we pride ourselves in being more righteous than others. At least one other person is all it takes. When I disobey the speed limit, I make sure to drive slower than one other person. And in this world, this relative righteousness, well, seems to work. Always pick someone less accomplished than yourself. And then you get the preaching of the law, which reveals that we have never done enough. No, that relative righteousness doesn't work in God's eyes. He is holy, holy, holy. And that is our comparison. More importantly, it shows we do not have a clean heart. The law points at our heart and says, you don't fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And without God-given faith, we don't do the works of the law. We don't have those pure desires or those love-inspired works. When Jesus preaches the gospel message of grace and forgiveness to the paralytic, the scribes get angry. They're upset. They're upset because he is not preaching salvation by works. And they say that he has no authority to proclaim that message. Verse 6 and verse 9, the New King James translation of the English word, it's the English word power. The Greek word is exousia. It would be better if they had used the English word authority, not the word power. So, when we hear the word power in English, we often think of raw strength. So, does he have the power to do it? We say, oh yes, he's strong, he's powerful. But that's not what it's asking. The Greek word exousia is asking about authority. It's asking, do you have the authorization, and thus with it the given ability from another? When the scribes determine that Jesus' announcement of absolution, his preaching of forgiveness, is blasphemy, they are saying that Jesus' preaching is a lie because it's without authority. It doesn't have authority from God. In order to prove that his message is true and correct, Jesus performs a miracle of healing of the paralytic. The crowd draws the correct conclusion that the miracle shows that Jesus is true God. In the person of Jesus Christ, God has given the authority of gospel forgiveness to men. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is authorized not only to proclaim the gospel forgiveness, the gospel preaching, he is able and desiring to make forgiveness happen. With authority, Jesus can and does take sinners and declare them to be forgiven saints. Luther was right. No preaching is greater than that about grace and the forgiveness of sins. The account of the men bringing the paralytic to Jesus is a picture about the way that God works in his holy Christian church. Like the paralytic, we are unable to come to Jesus. We are all dead in our trespasses and sin. The preaching of the law, well, it would benefit neither the paralytic nor us. We need to hear the authorized Son of God who effectively works to forgive sins through the preaching of the Word. Thankfully, someone, a parent, a friend, maybe a spouse, someone brought us to church so that we might hear the preaching of grace and forgiveness. The message is freely given. It does not rely upon anything that we have done. Unlike law preaching, gospel preaching does in fact change man. First, by its preaching, it makes him a Christian, a genuine saint, one whose sins are forgiven. Second, it creates a clean heart within him. That is, the gospel actually produces a love of God and a love for the neighbor. Jesus is God, come in human flesh. He has purchased our salvation through his suffering and death. An even greater proof than his healing of the paralytic was our Savior's resurrection from the dead on the third day. Jesus has defeated death and the devil. And therefore, before he ascended up into heaven, Jesus authorized the apostles and those who would follow in the pastoral office, saying this, all authority, it's that exousia word again, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the very end of the age. It is not blasphemy. The scribes got it wrong. Jesus' resurrection is the authority that we need in order that we might call pastors and send them out to forgive sins in the name of Jesus. When the ministers speak out the words of the forgiveness of sin, the preaching of grace and forgiveness, the absolution, they have the authority of Jesus himself who sent them. So, pastor, who told you to preach grace and forgiveness to sinners? It was the authorized Jesus who sent me to proclaim his forgiveness of sins. The minister says, as a called and ordained servant of the word. And that is the way he brings it. The Large Catechism says that the Holy Spirit does this. He first leads us into his holy community, that would be the church, placing us upon the bosom of the church, where he preaches to us and brings us to Christ. The Augsburg Confession then says this. At the same time, the people are carefully instructed concerning the consolation of the word of absolution, so they may esteem this absolution as great and a precious thing. It is not the voice or word of the man who speaks it. It is the word of God who forgives sin. For it is spoken in God's stead and by God's command. We teach with great diligence about this command and power of the keys, how comforting and necessary it is for terrified consciences. We also teach that God requires us to believe this absolution as much as if we heard God's voice from heaven, that we should joyfully comfort ourselves with absolution, and that we should know that through such faith we obtain the forgiveness of sins. No preaching is greater than that about grace and the forgiveness of sins. Unbelievers need it to be brought into the Christian church. Believers need it to comfort their own troubled consciences as well as their neighbors. And the Holy Spirit uses it that the preaching of forgiveness may daily put to death our old Adam, renew us in the faith. Let us glorify God that He has given such authority to men. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Page 143, Create in Me. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that your Son, Jesus Christ, having the authority to heal both body and soul, that he has given the authority to forgive sins to his church on earth. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, give your church the Holy Spirit so that her members pray for the salvation of their neighbors and bring them to Jesus as the men brought the paralytic to Jesus. Give zeal to all pastors, to our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would boldly speak to repentant sinners the comforting words, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." We ask that you would keep Pastor Henson safe in his travels to the Fort Myers mission this week. Also for our Early Childhood Learning Center, our director Keeley, that they would teach the children about the Son of David, Jesus Christ, our God. We pray for St. Bartholomew Lutheran Mission at Fort Myers, St. Michael and All Angels Lutheran Mission in Georgia, and for Pastor Gerald Dulas. We ask that our members would consider their spiritual blessings from God through Trinity Lutheran Church as they consider their offering for the next year. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have appointed the governing authorities for the reward of those who do good, the punishment of evildoers. Lead us to honor those who in authority, including our President Joe, our Governor JB, our Mayor Steve. Protect and guide all who make and administer and judge our laws, including our Chief Justice, John Roberts, that they intercede for the weakest and most vulnerable, especially the unborn and the infirm, and bring wrongdoers to justice. Guide and protect our military personnel, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex. Keep them from all harm and danger, and in your good time, bring them back to us. Let us pray to the Lord. Be with our shut-in Carolyn, our elderly Violet. Provide for the needs of Kevin, Victor and Marcia, Gibb, Howard and Stan, Shirley. Also with Jack, Linda, Levi. We ask also that you would be with James Schroeder, suffered a heart attack, as well as with Cecil's daughter, Jennifer. Be with our students, Sarah, Sadie, Jonathan, Kara, Alexis, Benjamin, and Jacob. O Lord, grant repentance and faith to those who approach your throne of grace this day to receive the body and blood of Christ, that they may do so in the confidence that you are there to bless them with your wonderful gifts of forgiveness and life. Let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. To the Lord, our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.